Genesis chapter number 39. If you'll draw your attention to verse number 7, Genesis chapter number 39, we're going to read about a man by the name of Joseph. Those of you that are familiar with the major Bible stories of the Old Testament, this is Joseph. He has now become Potiphar's servant, Potiphar's right-hand man. And this is the story that chronicles the seductress, Potiphar's wife's attempts to try to get Joseph to sin. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Genesis 39, verse number 7. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath commanded all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in his hand and fled and got him out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to learn a little bit about our enemy, the devil, and a little bit about what we have to face, what we are to face, it seems, in this world day by day. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd also show us how in the same Bible that so carefully has preserved this story, you have given us an answer. You have given us help. Lord, I pray that this helps somebody today. I pray this saves some young person from falling into deep sin. I pray, Lord, that this salvages maybe a marriage or protects a young husband or a young wife. Lord, I pray that this would strengthen, Lord, even the most grizzled veteran Christian here, Lord, that we would tune our ears in carefully. The Bible says, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. You may be seated. A couple weeks ago, I went down to Hazard, Kentucky, and I preached with Brother Jeffrey Fugit down there. And Brother Fugit preached out of this portion of Scripture. And a fantastic message. He preached it on a Sunday or a Tuesday morning, and he preached it mostly to Christian school young people. And I think you'll pick up right away on what his main thrust was when I give you the title. But he preached a message entitled Joseph's Other Coat. Joseph's Other Coat. And most of us are familiar with Joseph and his coat of many colors. But the coat that Joseph left in the hand of Potiphar's wife, he called it his coat of character. His coat of character. Boy, I hope you heard that, young people. Listen to me. Don't flirt around with temptation. Don't hang around temptation. As soon as you recognize it for what it is, you say, "Well, I'm going to resist it." No, the Bible says, "Flee also youthful lust." Bible says, "Run." That's the best way to handle temptation. Get as far away from it as you possibly can. "Well, Brother Jerry, I'm strong enough to stand in front of it." Well, you may be this time, and you may be next time. But let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you play with it. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. Book of Proverbs says, "Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned?" And the Bible, Jesus himself, teaching his disciples to pray, instructed them to pray thus, "Lead me not into temptation." So folks, the mark of a smart Christian, a wise Christian, is not whether or not they can resist temptation, but are they wise enough to avoid temptation? Well, I hope you got that. Brother Reiser took this same portion of Scripture just 2 or 3 weeks ago and preached to our young people in chapel here at Blessed Hope Baptist School, and preached a tremendous message in talking about what I'm giving you an introduction here, that we've got to be careful, folks. Joseph was a good man, a gracious man, a godly man, but you know what? He kept going to a place where he had to interact with temptation day by day. I talked to him about this. I said, you know, some of Joseph's duties probably required him to spend at least some time in Potiphar's house every day. But especially when he noticed that there were no men therein. You know, young people, listen, you just can't afford to put yourselves in situations where you make it easy for the devil to heighten the temptation and heighten the opportunity to do wrong. Now, just be careful. Just be careful about those things, please. Now, I'm not going to preach on this. I've presented some of these thoughts in introduction, and maybe you came this morning and what God wanted you to get has nothing to do with what I'll say from now on. It may be what I just said right there. And listen to me. Don't flirt around with temptation. Don't hang around temptation. Now, don't say, well, Brother Jerry, I'm strong enough. I can handle it. Listen, you get away from it. You flee it. You separate yourself from it. You stay in a safe place, in a godly place, in a good environment, and don't hang around temptation. When I was reading this, Brother Fugit preached this. I took some notes on his message, and I was reviewing them the other day and just letting God reinforce those truths to me. I got in a conversation with Brother Reiser, and he'd preached on this, and I said, well, I'm going to go back and read that story, and again, to strengthen some things in my life. But when I was reading this story, I came across this little phrase in verse number 10, and I'm going to just take this little phrase. We're using this as a starting place, and I want you to notice verse number 10. It says this, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph. Now look at the next three words, day by day, day by day. And you know what God told me? God said, Jerry, let me tell you something. The devil doesn't take a day off. The devil doesn't take a day off. I wish I could tell you folks that, you know what? I'm able to predict what you're going to face this week. And you know what? All you have to worry about is twice on Wednesday and once on Friday, you're going to face temptation. The rest of the week, you've got a clear path ahead. I can't tell you that because it wouldn't be true. Don't you wish sometimes that you'd get a notice in the mail that the devil just went on vacation for 2 weeks? And we could say, praise God, for 2 weeks we don't have to worry about him sneaking up on us, trying to bushwhack us. The honest truth is, the devil doesn't take a day off. And folks, temptation doesn't take a day off, and sin doesn't take a day off, and our flesh doesn't take a day off. And day by day, the devil uses those combinations of things to press upon us and try to tear us down, try to trip us up, try to do us something that will damage our testimony before a lost world. So his intent and purpose is to hurt us and to keep us from having a impact, a good impact, a strong impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning that Satan's attacks come day by day, that he oppresses day by day, that temptation seeks us out, folks, day by day. And if I gave you that thought and left you with that thought alone, it wouldn't have been a very encouraging trip to the house of God. But where God tells us a truth, even if it's a difficult truth, he also gives us, along with that truth, hope. This is a book that has a lot of hope scriptures, a lot of help scriptures in it. And I got to thinking about that day by day thing. You know what? I've got to live in this sinful world day by day. I've got to drive by these ridiculous billboards day by day. I got to interact with a society of people that have lost their mind when it comes to morals and modesty day by day. I've got to be exposed in some ways, voluntarily or otherwise, it seems like, to the filthy music and the gut rot music day by day, even if I just go in a gas station or a store. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some other things that God's given us day by day. And I just got a little curious about that. I thought it was interesting the way that was phrased. And I got my concordance out and I chased down some verses that I'm going to ask you to turn to today. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 30. Not 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles chapter number 30. That's in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse number 21. And I got to looking at this phrase. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't intend to preach on it. I was just doing this Bible study to help me. But the more I kept finding this little phrase day by day in the Bible, the more excited I got. Yes, I've got to say this as your preacher. I've got to sometimes mount the pulpit and warn you that there's a lot of wickedness. There's a lot of temptation, and that Satan is a day-by-day adversary. But God also is a day-by-day God. Praise the Lord. I think one of the greatest secrets you can learn in life is to learn to live life one day at a time. Just take it a day at a time. Let me give you this. 2 Chronicles chapter number 30, if you will, look at verse number 21. 2 Chronicles chapter number 30, verse 21. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. They praised the Lord day by day. Brother Jerry, Satan attacks me every day. I look back over the course of the last 7 days since we met here ago, a Sunday ago, and I can tell you the honest truth, he hasn't let off of me on one of these days. He oppresses me day by day. He tries to depress me day by day. He sends temptations to seek me out day by day. How do I combat this? How do I survive this as a Christian? Let me give you the first one. We need to praise the Lord day by day. Praise the Lord day by day. Psalms 22:3 says this, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." There's something remarkable about the praising of Almighty God. When we praise God, the Bible says that God literally inhabits our praise. You know, one of the quickest ways to get the power of God and the presence of God to come upon you and to come in your situation at a moment's time is to begin to praise the Lord. Now listen to me, Brother Jerry. You say, I'm facing some of these things and I'm not winning these battles. Well, start praising the Lord. You mean when I'm being tempted, you want me to praise the Lord? That's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to praise the Lord day by day. Learn to praise the Lord. Learn to sing to the Lord. And you know what? You're going to find out there's a special presence that comes and power that comes and protection that comes when you have a Christian that just starts singing praises to the Lord or begins to praise the Lord. Our bus kids sing a chorus as they're being brought to church. This is what they sing. It's amazing what praising can do. Let me say this, folks. That's just not a fun song. That is a great truth. It's amazing what praising can do. You begin to praise the Lord, and you'll notice that all of a sudden the satanic powers and principalities and their oppression begins to diminish, because there's something about praising God that brings the presence of God and diminishes the power of Satan. So listen, just begin to sing. Just pick out a song. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. When we all get to heaven like we just sung, it doesn't matter. Just begin to sing praises to God, and you're going to find out that is an incredibly effective weapon against that day-by-day tempter, that day-by-day snake that slithers into our life and tries us to take of the fruit that God said not to touch. I believe in the power of singing praises to God. You know what? Christianity has always been a singing religion. Right. Judaism is a singing religion. You know this? Atheism is songless. Yep. Right. You think about that. Christianity is a singing religion, but atheism is songless. It has nothing to sing about. When the noted agnostic Robert Ingersoll died, the printed funeral notice said, quote, "There will be no singing. Look not for hymns, anthems, carols, spiritual songs amongst infidels, agnostics, or skeptics. Without God, without Christ, without redemption, without a divine revelation, without hope, they have nothing to sing about." The psalm singing of the Christian martyrs going to their deaths in the arena alerted the Roman Empire to the fact that a new and revolutionary force was coming into being. When the pleasure-bent populace saw the Christians singing as they fearlessly entered the amphitheater where hungry lions awaited them, they were filled with awe. Heaven is vibrant with song. Let me read you Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. You know, heaven's a singing place. And those of us that are going there ought to be singing people. Doesn't that make sense to you? It's a little girl. She was going to the doctor. She was trying to be brave. She was taken to a doctor for a minor but painful operation. All was ready. The kindly doctor said, "This will hurt, but you may cry or scream as much as you please." The little girl looked up at him, smiling, and said, "I would rather sing," which she did with her sweet, childish voice, and went through her brief ordeal without sigh, groan, or a tear. You know what, Christians? There's enough of the world out there that's crying and whining. Well, you know how we ought to face our trials? With a song on our lips. Say, Brother Jerry, it's hard. We'll start singing. I'm down, Brother Jerry. Start praising. I'm having a tough day. It's amazing what praising will do. Yeah, the devil's after me. Start praising the Lord. Start singing the songs of Zion. Let me read this quote from Martin Luther. Music is a fair and lovely gift of God, which has often wakened and moved me to the joy of preaching. Next, after theology, I give to music the highest place and the greatest honor. My heart bubbles up and overflows in response to the songs of Zion, which so often refreshed me and delivered me from temptations. From temptations. Martin Luther said that. We had a black lady come to our church in Brazil for a while. What was her name? Delois? Delois. She was fun. I loved her. You know what? If I wasn't pastoring y'all, I'd go pastor a black church. I think I would. I don't know, brother. They seem to have a good time, man. And they know how to sing. They know how to sing. I was talking to her one day after church, and she said, Brother Jerry, the devil's come visit me every day this week. You ever feel like that? The devil's... She said, Brother Jerry, you know, wide, wide eyes, Brother Jerry, the devil's come visit me every day this week. I said, is that right? I said, what do you do when he comes? Listen to this. She said this, I sing him right out of my house. Amen. Amen. You know why I like a bunch of singing before I'm preaching? Because by the time y'all get done singing, we've done cleared the imps out of here. I mean, we've made the path clear so that God can do something. I mean that. That's why you ought to get involved in the song service, folks. I'm not going to strong arm you. I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to browbeat you. I'm not going to twist your arm, but you're robbing yourself by not just joining in with your heart and singing praises to God. Man, you're plowing a clear path. You're cleaning out the demons. You're putting Satan in his place. Just go to praising. And yes, he's going to be there tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. I promise you that. But I also can tell you this, that according to the Bible, if we just praise the Lord day by day and sing to him, we'd be surprised what that would do and how we could get victory even in times of temptation. Let me give you another verse to look at. Nehemiah. By the way, we're going to be in this portion of Scripture tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 8. Let's use our Bible some this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 8. And let's go to verse number 18. This is the chapter we'll preach on tonight. We won't probably get to this verse, but we'll preach in Nehemiah chapter 8 tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 8 and verse number 18. Well, the devil's a day-by-day enemy. Yes, he is. And God, thank the Lord, is a day-by-day God. And let me give you something else. Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse 18. Nehemiah 8, 18. Also, day-by-day, from the first day into the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Now, isn't this good for us? Man, Brother Jerry, you just preached on this last week. I know. I preached a message called Take a New Look at the Old Book. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you done this past week? What'd you do with that message? Have you done anything with it? Has the Bible become a part of your daily life? Could you stand up and testify right now if you were called upon? Brother Jerry, let me tell you what I read every day, and let me tell you some of the things God taught me. I told our young people when I was teaching them in Bible class, I said there was a black guy that went to our college, a colored guy by the name of Stan Harris. And some of you were at Howells Anderson, remember Brother Stan. And Brother Stan was at college the same time I was. He's in evangelism now. And he was hitching a ride one time as I was leaving a college. He needed to get a ride somewhere, so I pulled over and picked him up. And I said, you know what? It took me back, but he asked me a very, very fair question that day. Brother Stan seemed like he was always excited. And you know what? He genuinely walked with the Lord. And he jumped in the car and we got to talk. He said, hey, brother, let me ask you something. Share something with me that you got from your devotions this morning. Now think about that question. Share something with me that you got from your devotions this morning. And I mean, he wasn't being judgmental. He wasn't being ugly. He wasn't being, I almost said he wasn't being black. He was black, but he wasn't being dark. He was just saying, share something with me from your devotions this morning. And I hem-hawed around and tried to think, okay, what did I read this morning? And you know what I got to thinking afterwards? That's a fair question. That's a fair question. Every single one of us ought to get something from the Bible every day. You know why it's quiet in here, folks? Because we are not a people of this book like we ought to be a people of this book. Now listen, I'm not here to put you on a guilt trip. I'm here to help you until we get this in our little stubborn heads that this book, and without the presence and power of this book in our life, we cannot defeat the devil. We're going to just keep falling and falling and day by day losing the battle. We need to praise God day by day, but we need to read the Bible day by day. I'm not going to get off this. I think I'm just going to preach this every week for the next 6 months. Amen. I'm just going to keep preaching till y'all give up and start doing it. You know, the Bible proclaims itself to be the sword of the Spirit. It is our defense, our weapon of defense against the devil and his temptations. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, as we're taught about the armor of God, that verse says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Hebrews 4, 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrows, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You all know the story, of course, in Matthew chapter number 4. I'm going to get a different Bible here. Matthew chapter number 4 about Jesus as he faced the temptation of the devil. Now, I marked that. I went back in the back. And by the way, we probably ought to set those out. Brother Eric, after the service, if we could set out, there's a whole stack in that cabinet over here of Bibles that have ended up in lost and found. Let's set them out and spread them out on the back thing. And if you've misplaced a Bible or lost a Bible, you may not even know where to look for one. But if I can't find a Bible, I always know where there's about 20 of them, amen? And you know what? I went back there on purpose, and I'll tell you why I went and got this Bible. Because I just wanted to see it. I knew what I'd see, but I wanted to see it. Now, I don't have in front of me, and I don't use a red-letter edition of the Bible. I'm not against it. I know folks that make issue of it, and I really guess I don't care one way or the other. I will say this. There's not some words that are more precious than other words in the Bible. You say, but those are the words of Jesus. Folks, these are all the words of God, and God is Jesus, and Jesus is God. So it's all God's words. I don't really care how you feel about that. I mean that. I mean, you know, I'm not going to make it a point of fellowship, but I wanted to find a red-letter edition of the Bible because I wanted to look at that story in Matthew chapter number 4. And there's the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan. And three different times Jesus speaks, and it's in red in this Bible. And every one of them right there starts with, "It is written," in verse number 7. "It is written," in verse number 10. Get the hint, Satan, "for it is written." You know what? Jesus, when he met the temptation of the devil, defeated him by quoting the Bible, by quoting the Word of God. He used the sword of the Spirit. Yes, sir. The reason I wanted to show you that is, you know what, folks, listen to me. Jesus didn't have to quote Old Testament Scripture. Jesus was the Word incarnate. Jesus was teaching us something here. He was saying, listen, you're going to face temptation one of these days, and I'm giving you the formula, I'm giving you the recipe to know how to win the battle. And what you do is you understand that the Bible is going to help you through times of temptation. We've got a day-by-day enemy, so we need to be day-by-day praising God. We have a day-by-day enemy, so we need to day by day be in the Word of God, reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating upon it. Listen, folks, the devil isn't scared of me and he isn't scared of you. But he trembles at the words of the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, almighty God. He trembles at the words of this book. Praise the Lord, I've got me a weapon. So tomorrow he's going to come, but I got me a weapon. And Tuesday he's going to come, but I got me a weapon. And Wednesday he's going to come, and I've got me a weapon. And some of you need to go to Lost and Found because you've been walking out around without your weapon. Now don't try to tell me you can make it this week without this book. I'm sorry, you're just talking to the wrong guy. I know better. I've done went and tried it. It don't work. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't leave the house without the sword. We've got to make this book, this Bible, a part of our everyday life. Amen. And that'll help you. Luke chapter number 11. Let's go to Luke chapter number 11. Day by day. I'm so glad that even though I've got a day by day enemy, I've got a day by day God. Man alive. Thank you, Lord, that you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord, that every single day you walk beside me. Luke chapter number 11. Let's look at verse number 3. And of course, this is smack dab in the middle of what we call the Lord's Prayer, the beginner prayer, the model prayer. Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 3. Notice this. Give us day by day. I like that. Day by day our daily bread. And by the way, that's the entire verse. Give us day by day our daily bread. You know what? We need to praise God every day, and we need to read His Word every day, but we also need to just learn to trust the Lord every day. Amen. Yes, sir. trust the Lord every single day. Lord, I'm going to need some things today, and I'm going to trust you to give them to me. Spend some time every day praying and asking God for what you'll need that day. What are you going to need each and every day? Learn to trust God day by day. I brought another book with me up here, and I'm going to read you a song out of this one. This song's not in our song book, but I know that you know it, and most of you, like me, absolutely love this song. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. You like that? I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry or the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today, I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Amen. I like verse 2. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow where the mountains touch the sky. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood. But his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things, folks, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Thank God for that. What are you going to do, Brother Jerry, to get through today? I'm just going to trust God. Well, what are you going to do about tomorrow? Well, let's wait till then and see if it comes. And if it comes, I think I'm just going to trust God. Well, what about Tuesday? I think I'm going to trust God. Well, Brother Jerry, 6 months from now, you know what, folks? I think I'm just going to walk today. I think I'm just going to trust in God today. Amen. Let me just help some of you, dear senior saints. You know what? You're getting towards the end of the journey, and you know what? All of a sudden, you look around and you have real, genuine needs and concerns. Brother Jerry, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I can't see very far down, and there's a lot of things that I find myself worrying about. Let me just say that every day you can trust the one who every day up to this point has walked beside you, and every day up to this point has taken care of you, and every day up to this point has met your needs. And you know what? I know the devil doesn't go on vacation, but praise God. Let me say this. God doesn't go on vacation either. He's not going to leave you. You know, he's going to be the same God that he was to you in your childhood, and the same God he was to you in your young years, and in your youth, and in your strength. And God will not forsake you. And God will take care of you step by step. You need to trust the Lord every day. We've got young couples, and they're struggling to get their feet under themselves. They started a family. There's times when they don't know if there's going to be enough money at the end of the month or enough month at the end of the money. And you know what? They just say, Brother Jerry, I lay awake nights. Listen to me. Why don't you trust the Lord? You just need to learn that tomorrow's in his hands. Walk with him today. Can I just read you a portion of scripture that maybe will be a blessing to you? Go to Matthew chapter 6 if you'd like to look at it and ponder it. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. Let me just give you some blessed words. By the way, this portion of scripture I'm going to preach on this coming Wednesday night. This is part of that mountainside lessons, mountainside discipleship lessons that Jesus taught. And Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Matthew 6:25. Take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, yet nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his statue? Stature. Verse 25, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? You know, folks, we ought to just get back to being happy about having simple things. You know, you don't need the fanciest of things in the world. Solomon spent all that money, spent all that gold, accumulated all that stuff. And yet you can walk out into the field every day and see some things that are more beautiful than anything Solomon ever had. Amen. Verse number 30 says this, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love this next one. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And folks, we were a lot better country when every day we had to get on our knees and say this: give us day by day our daily bread. Honey, how are we going to make it to the end of the week? I'm not worried about making it to the end of the week. I'm worried about making it to the end of the day. Let's just hold on to the hand of Almighty God, and let's work hard, and let's seek the kingdom of heaven first and trust in him. And you know what? He's promised all these things will be added unto us. Let's just be true to God. Let's be true to God. Let me give you one more portion of Scripture. I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is the last place we'll turn. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is the one in the New Testament. It's Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16. Day by day the devil comes, yes, but day by day God stands beside me. And if I praise him day by day and read his book day by day and just learn to pray and trust him day by day, you know what? The devil's no match for any of that. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this: for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now look right up here and let me give you maybe what the greatest key to getting through every single day is understanding this. As we grow older, as each day progresses, our outward man, this old temple, this old body, it's in the process of perishing. But God said that should not be the same as the inward man. You see, while you are diminishing physically, the Bible says that the inward man can be renewed day by day. I'm kind of interested in technology. I've been watching some of this stuff. I don't know a whole lot about it, but even in my lifetime, it's amazing how many things we have and how many neat stuff you young people take for granted that we didn't have. But one of the things was rechargeable everythings. I love my rechargeable drill. I mean, the idea of being able to use a drill and not have to find an extension cord, not have to be anywhere near electricity, the idea of being able to plug that thing in and just put it in there, pop it in there, and sit there and zip on and use it for an hour or 2 hours, and then and just have the freedom to go anywhere with it is really, you men will agree, a blessing. Now, you ladies are looking at me like, big deal, but it's a blessing. It really is. And, the honest truth is, even rechargeable batteries need to be recharged. They need to be renewed. And pretty soon, you get to trying to drill, and you know what? You start this zzzz. And you know what that's telling you? You need to be recharged. And pretty soon, it just stops. So you know what you'll do? You don't really want to take the battery out, so you'll back it out, and then you'll go zzz. And you'll back it out 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 zzz. Some of you have been living that way for about 6 months. I'm not kidding. Bless your heart. You just keep, you're too stubborn to take it out and stick it in. You'll say, Brother Jerry, I got to get this done. I don't have time. Listen, folks, unplug the thing, put it in the recharger, go make a pot of coffee, wait an hour, you can go back to work. And you're going to get a ton more done than sitting there going, come on, baby. I mean, just recharge it. Now, folks, listen to me. When we begin to praise the Lord, we recharge the inner man. When we take the time to get into this book, we recharge the inner man. When we get on our knees and say, give us day by day our daily bread, we're recharging the inner man. When we learn to trust God and get off this worry, leave it alone. Put things in God's hands. Just trust him. You know what? He'll take care of you. How's he done so far? He's a trustworthy God. And so, folks, even though every single one of us have to face the devil day by day and temptation day by day and evil day by day, you know what? We have a God that's a day by day God. I got to read this song to you. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, well, I pray this is your testimony. The Lord, I can tell you this, every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O God, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. I look across this auditorium, and I know some of you, for the last several days, and in the days to come, you are facing difficult things. Let me say this. You do not have to face them alone. You have a day-by-day God. Isn't that exciting? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd give that strength, Lord, as the day our strength will be in measure, that you'd give that measure of strength even today to those who need it, the amount they need, the quantity they need, the quality they need. And Lord, if you would gift along with that strength the assurance of your presence, help us, Lord, as we face what the devil will throw at us, as we face the evils of this old world. Help us, Lord, to walk beside you, to trust you, to hold your hand. Keep us praising, Lord. Keep us reading. Keep us praying. Keep us trusting, Lord. And I want to thank you, God, for being there for us. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question that has to be asked. Are you trying to live your life without a day-by-day God? Have you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The thought of trying to live day by day without Him, I'll be honest with you, bless your heart. I know maybe you don't know better, but I can't imagine in this old wicked world trying to get through day by day without a day by day God. Now, folks, we all got a sin problem. We're all sinners. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And if God is speaking to your heart and he's telling you, I want to be your day-by-day Savior, your day-by-day God, but you have to receive me as your Savior. You know, God can't be there for you the way he wants to be, the way he'd like to be until you're born again. Is there anyone here that say, Brother Jerry, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen. If I was to die right now, I'm afraid of what might happen. I look back on the timeline of my life and I can't find that spot, that place where I received Jesus as my Savior. I don't know that I'm saved. But Brother Jerry, you're right. Life is hard and sin has awful consequences, and I need a forgiving God to wash me clean and walk the rest of the way with me. If you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? I won't embarrass you. I won't come get you. But I want to pray for you. Brother Jerry, I'm here, but I'm not saved. Please pray for me. I'm here, but I'm not saved. Please pray for me. How many would say, Brother Jerry, I'm a child of God, and I know by my life experience that what you said is true, and I'm facing some tough days ahead, and I need God in a special way. Preacher, you don't have to know everything, but please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Please pray for me. God bless each and every one of you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, you see these hands, but beyond that, you can see the heart and the need and the hurt, and you know where strength is needed. Bless, Lord, bless. Beat back the tempter. Keep the evil one away. Help these, Lord, that are facing these heartaches, these trials, these tribulations day by day. May they find strength this morning through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.